As Anna just prayed, it has been a sobering week with the news of yet another school shooting. These 13 children and 4 adults. And then all the roiling debate about what to do, how to end such evil things. And then add to, there's all the countless other things going on in the world that are frightening and dark. And you have to ask, how do we live into this? How do we do this as the people of God? What's our best response? And how do we merge what we know out there with what we do and hear and sing and pray in here? They need to cross over. Well, among other things, we turn to God's Word, as people have done for millennia, to find our grounding, our foundation, our traction, our direction here in God's Word. A central theme running all the way through Scripture, from the creation story in Genesis to the new creation described at the end of Revelation, all the way through it. A central theme is what David just sang about. God's covenant with us. God's covenant with all of creation. We're reminded that it's all God's. Everything. Every person, every mountain range, every bird in the wing, it all belongs to God. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Dutch theologian Abraham Kuyper once put it this way: there is not one square inch in the whole domain of our human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry out, "Mine." It's all His. And how beautiful that this very same God, the owner, operator, designer of everything, God has made a covenant with us. A sacred promise that has many different layers of promise in it. Promises to love us and to forgive us. Promises to provide for us and to guide us, to go with us, to invite us into this relationship with Him, and in doing so, to transform us. To transform us into image bearers of God as revealed to us in Jesus. This is central to God's covenant. We have a promise-making, promise-keeping God who says, "I promise. I promise." And it's not only God promising to do this and to do that, or not do this or not do that, it's also God promising to be this for us. To be this for us. To be the one who is faithful. And who's passionate about justice. The one who is full of mercy and abounding with steadfast love. To be the one who is with us. Just as He promised us in Jesus. God with us, Emmanuel. That's what the covenant is all about. God's covenant with us runs all the way through the whole story of Scripture like a bright red thread woven through it. And just as in weaving, that bright red thread is not always right there on the surface. It's woven into it, sometimes embedded into the story of a life, or sometimes it emerges in some unexpected place or with some unexpected person. But it's always there, foreground or background, God's covenant. The best-known Old Testament covenant story is from Genesis 12. God's call of Abraham. It's a pivotal story. Because here God narrows His focus to one person, to one couple, Abraham and Sarah, to one family, to their family, which gradually became a huge tribe of people. And this large extended family tribe, these were the people God chose to bring people to Himself globally. God said, "I will make you into a great nation. And I will bless you. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." That's the covenant promise. It's the primary story that unfolds throughout the Old Testament, the very same story that takes a new and glorious shape in the New Testament with the arrival of Jesus, God's Son. Same overarching story, God's covenant with us. But the story of Abraham and Sarah in Genesis 12, even though it's very well known, it is not the first covenant God made. The first time God made a covenant is in Genesis 9 with Noah after the flood. A lot of people have a basic understanding of the flood. God looked at all the evil going on in the world and saw that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. And God said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I've created. I regret that I've made them. But there was Noah, the one person who found favor in God's eyes, and God chose Noah to build this huge boat, an ark, and to load it with his family and then with pairs of creatures. And once loaded up, they sealed the doors and the flood came. When the flood finally receded and the land dried, Noah and his family and all their creaturely passengers came out and life began again, a complete reboot. And with this new start, God made his first covenant, his first sacred promise directed at Noah and his people, but also to all people, and also to all of life. We'll hear it in the text that I'll read. All life, every living creature is given this covenant promise that God said would never be revoked. So I'm extending today's reading back to Genesis 9, verse 1. 1 through 17. Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. The fear and dread of you will fall on all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the sky, on every creature that moves along the ground, and on all the fish in the sea. They are given into your hands. Everything that lives and moves will be food for you. Just as I gave the green plants, I now give you everything. But you must not eat meat that has lifeblood still in it. And for your lifeblood, I will surely demand an accounting. I will demand an accounting from every animal and from each human being too. I will demand an accounting for the life of another human being. Whoever sheds human blood, by human beings shall their blood be shed. For in the image of God, God has made humankind. As for you, be fruitful and increase in number, multiply in the earth and increase upon it. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, and every living creature on earth. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. So God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant I've established between me and all life on earth. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. The covenant, biblically, is a promise built into a relationship that's initiated by God. It's a promise built into a relationship initiated by God. It's dynamic and responsive. An offer by God, and it's full of promise. There are the you shalls and the you shall nots. But it's not simply mechanical. As in, if you do this thing, then you'll be rewarded. If you do that thing, you'll be punished. That's part of it, but that's not the whole of it. It's much greater than that. The covenant is relational. It's rooted in God's desires for us to know who we are. Who we are in relation to Him and in relation to all people on this planet. This life that He's given to earth in relationship with our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Promise Keeper. It's not just God and me. It's God and me and you and all of us together. It's the honoring of all of life that God has created and how we do this together. God's covenant rises out of His pursuing love for all of us and for all of creation. And so His covenant promise is about that central and centering Hebrew word, shalom. Shalom. Which is about so much more than just peace being the absence of conflict. It's about everything and everyone flourishing in the ways that God intends. My friend Jim Bruckner, who is one of the finest Old Testament scholars I know, he wrote this in his book, Healthy Human Life, which is all about this. I'm paraphrasing parts of what he wrote. All life wears the label, creatures well made by God. All life wears the label, creatures well made by God. And God intends for that specific part of creation made in His own image, humans, to be a blessing to others and to give honor to the source of life, to God. We do this by willingly and obediently living into the covenant that God has made with us. By God's grace, we do this by reflecting God's own character in our lives. God's own character displayed most clearly and beautifully in Jesus Christ. We are covenant people. We are promise receivers. We are loved, we are forgiven, we are chosen to be the image bearers, the promise bearers of all that God has initiated with us by grace through Jesus Christ. Yet we forget. We drop the ball. In the flow and complexity of life as it comes at us, full of challenge and fearful things day by day, combined with all of our own deeply bred proneness towards sin that we all have. What can happen is that we can think that this is really just for us, or just for us and people who are just like us, these promises and this blessing, this mandate to live as the image bearers and honorers of all of life. Or we can think that if we're just good and decent people, going to church, paying our taxes, being basically nice, then all's well. And that we've upheld our side of this covenant arrangement. Those are just a few of the ways that it can roll out in our lives. Thinking that it's really just for us and just for people like us. Or that if we're basically just good, that it's okay. But that's not where this goes biblically. Not according to the long arc of Scripture. Biblically, the covenant relationship God intends is one that moves into our hearts and changes us. It transforms us. And then by His power, we move forward into this world around us, God's presence guiding us, God's presence with us, moving outward toward this broken world. And therefore, it's not just tribal, meaning just for us. And it's not just transactional, meaning if you and I just keep the rules, we're good. It's not just tribal, it's not just transactional. It's transformational. God's covenant is meant to transform us into the humble image bearers, people carrying God's character into the challenges and complexities and hostilities of this world that come at us every day. Staying with just the Old Testament for a moment, God's covenant, beginning with Noah and the blessing of all of life, all of creation. And then the covenant continuing with Abraham and Sarah and God's call on them and those who came after them to be blessings to all people on earth. And then God's continuing covenant with Moses and Miriam and Aaron and Joshua and Deborah and Ruth, and on it goes. At so many, many points along the way, people broke the covenant. They broke the covenant. Not trusting, not following, not honoring others, not honoring God, but instead circling in and around their own self-interest and self-preservation, grieving and often angering God. Scripture is full of this. Scrolling forward to the prophet Jeremiah, whose words we heard earlier, God said through him, "The days are coming when I will make a new covenant with my people. It will not be like the old covenant which they broke. This is the covenant I will make with them. I will put my laws in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people." New covenant. And then came Jesus. Thanks be to God. The incarnation of the good news of God's new covenant, Jesus, who spent himself down and gave himself up for this whole world, including every one of us. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 5, God demonstrates his own love for us. Just hold on to those words for a few moments. God demonstrates his own love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And Jesus summarized this whole covenant in these few words. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. That's the covenant God intends us to receive and to respond to with our lives and to bring into this crazy, violent, divided world in which we live. I grieve about what happened in Parkland, Florida this past week, on Ash Wednesday, this day when we are reminded that we are frail and sinful and our lives are fleeting. 13 children and 4 adults. I know you grieve too. And I grieve over the long, long list of other places where violence has wiped out innocent and unsuspecting lives in a flash. Schools, churches, music venues, military bases, and on the list goes. We know it. All these people, lives cruelly ended or upended by evil, violent acts, a violent, diminishing, disregarding of the sacred gift of life that God gives. And only God knows where it might happen next. It might happen here, for all we know. Only God knows. I'm raising this not to get into all the politics of it. I'm raising it because it begs the question, how do we actually respond? Responding with our lives in a world that's gone mad with violence and with racism and hate and division and exploitation of vulnerable people. How do we respond, actually? Along party lines? Or just by gut reactions? By prepping ourselves to respond in kind if needed? More to the point, how are we as the people of God, as followers of Jesus, how are we seeing and living in this very milieu framed in the context of God's covenant promises? Because God's covenant is central to this overarching narrative of life called the Bible. The Bible, which we as followers hold to as the most central narrative of life, our place for gaining perspective and for gaining perspective that's not driven by self or politics or economics or prejudices that we might carry or anything else. But instead, it's crafted by God, the creator of all things, who redeems life. Here we're reminded by God's covenant and God's call on our lives that we are to be blessings to others, not curses. That we're to be the image bearers of God through Jesus Christ, not the image bearers of anything else. We're reminded, forgiven sinners that we are, every last one of us, that by God's grace, we're on mission. Every day, we're on mission to help others know His grace and His forgiveness too. To encounter this new covenant given to us in Jesus Christ and the good news of the gospel, not just sharing it with people who already know it or with people who are just like us, but with all people, including our enemies, just like Jesus did. Those are key parts of life in this covenant. So how do we do this? It's an age-old question. People from Noah onward have struggled with this, often tripping and falling in trying to do this. It's a question that a crowd of people cried out to the Apostle Peter in Jerusalem on Pentecost. They were stirred by him telling about the resurrection of Jesus, the Savior of the world. And they cried out, well, how then shall we live? What should we do? And do you remember what Peter said? Repent. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you and to all who are far off. Everyone whom the Lord calls. That's where it always begins. This living forward into this, with repentance. Laying down our own stuff. Our angers, our fears, our readiness to strike back, those things that boil up within us, to lay it down. To lay down our hates, our prejudices, even the ones that we're very used to. Those things that can pull us to those places that are far off and that are not honoring God and that do not give glory to Jesus, to lay it down. To repent and to receive forgiveness. To be set free from the angry, fearful ways that can cause so many people just to arm themselves to the teeth, ready to respond. We begin and need to keep coming back to this core of life in God's covenant. Repentance. Repentance. And forgiveness. And asking for the redeeming power of Jesus to move in us and through us, transforming us, sending out into this broken world with the power of the Holy Spirit. Not just in our own power. So to close, listen to what Jesus said to his disciples shortly before he was arrested and crucified. And remember, these were dark and threatening days. This is no easy walk. And his followers are trying to figure out how to live following Jesus in this dark and threatening time. And he said, don't let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Peace. Do not be afraid. As we go out into this day, this very day, and all the days ahead, with whatever is going to come up in the news next, we go as people of God's new covenant through Jesus Christ, repentant and forgiven sinners, and we are sent out as image bearers of Jesus, gifted with the Holy Spirit, and with the ways of peace. Because here, life framed and anchored in God's covenant is where life is that honors God, that carries freedom and peace and flourishing, God's shalom for us and for others. God's new covenant, given to us and made perfect through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Oh God, you know more than we know about the complexities and division and hate and darkness in this world. And we pray for you to help us. That you will help us to be your image bearers, your covenant carriers, your very people on mission into the daily particulars of life as we encounter it. For those who live in fear, for those who are swept up in anger, for all those who are ready to pounce, and that can be all of us. Oh God, intervene in your beautiful grace and transform us in ways that honor you and that carry the image of Jesus. Help us to live in the covenant that you have so graciously given to us, living into the redeeming power and presence of Jesus our Savior. Amen. Please stand. We have a reading here that we'll read together, and then we will sing.